Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live right now, live on the air and online, and we'll be glad to address your question or offer direction for the hard issues of real life. We invite you to call now, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC, or the full number, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about Jesus all month and the fact that he became one of us, put on flesh and blood. We know that in theological terms as the incarnation, and, you know, it's just a miracle. But it changes everything, the fact that Jesus entered the scene. And one of the things that I think it does for us, guys, is that it answers a question. And it's a question that the disciples ask of Jesus as you know, they were following him and learning of him. And they said this, what must we do to do the works God requires? And Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. Well, that's what the Christmas story is all about. Jesus is the one that God sent. And the angels appeared before the shepherds and said, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born, Christ the Lord. Well, what do we do with that? Well, we believe that he came to save us. That's how all of this ties together. And so what does God require? God requires us to walk by faith in Jesus Christ, to believe that he truly is our Savior, not only the one that was going to take away our sins, but the one who was going to be raised to life so that we could have everlasting life. That's the good news of this Christmas story, isn't it, guys?
Yeah, you know, you think, Bob, about how people throw stones at this message. They say it's easy believism, the idea that we would simply believe in the one who Jesus sent. But when you think about it logically, if everything that we do in and of ourselves is like filthy rags to him, then what else in the world can we do other than just look upon the work of Jesus Christ and say thank you, God, for sending him, and give that big wow and that big thank you? And that's really what faith is. We really don't in and of ourselves have anything else to offer other than what Hebrews calls the fruit of lips that give thanks to our God. And at this time of the year, I guess above all, we just sort of, our minds gravitate toward the greatest gift we've ever been given. And we do give a big shout of that wow and that thank you to God. And that's what faith is. And anything else would be filthy rags. All we can do is lean in on what God has done for us.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Andrew. And let's talk about it on today's broadcast. We invite you to call right now. Plenty of open lines. We would love to hear from you today.
844-32-BASIC. That's the number to call. Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and me. And thank you for joining us, everybody. And as I said, plenty of open lines. And the time remaining on the clock, well, it's all of it. So give us a call. Want to address your issue on this edition. 844-32-BASIC. Guys, a very, very good question from Jose, who writes to us through one place, as a matter of fact, from Tampa. He says, as a new believer, I get confused on what walking in the Spirit means. I have the book, The Hurt and the Healer, and I'm trying on so many subjects at one time. Is it possible to get spiritually burned out over overdoing it as a new believer?
It's a good question, well, isn't it, absolutely. Andrew?
Yeah, I mean, it really is. You know, that kind of describes many of our testimonies, Bob. You know, We start out as sincere, eager children of God, and we hear about this thing that we've called walking in the Spirit or walking by the Spirit, and you know, we set out to do that, and we hear from one author or one teacher or one pastor, we hear one formula and then another on how to walk by God's Spirit. I think first of all we have to differentiate the in versus the by. I mean, it's really that we walk by God's Spirit. That is, that we keep in step with God's Spirit. We walk beside or we walk along with God's Spirit. And as far as being in the Spirit, we Christians are in the Spirit. So, you know, right now I'm in Texas. We're all sitting in Texas. So imagine if we woke up tomorrow morning, Bob, and we said, well, you know, we really need to get in Texas. How can we get in Texas? Maybe we need to claim it. Maybe we need to name it. Maybe if we rid ourselves of all the sin in our life, we could eventually get ourselves in Texas. Well, you can see the futility in that thinking, because the reality is we're already sitting in Texas. We've been sitting in Texas the whole time, even though we might have thought otherwise. And so it's the same thing with being in Christ. We are in Christ. I mean, we're raised and seated in Christ right next to God, and that's a truth all the time. But then the moment by moment, relating to God, listening to God's Spirit, walking in step with God's Spirit, we'll call that walking by the Spirit. And that's a lifelong adventure. I mean, I like to say we're on the 80-year plan. We're going to fall and skin our knees and get back up and learn from it and grow from it. And it's a dynamic relationship that we have with God's Spirit. Sometimes we listen and sometimes we don't, and we learn from that. But, you know, the whole fact that we are in Christ all the time, that's our security and that's our assurance. And I think that, you know, we're really going to end up analyzing every move we make and wondering if we're okay, if we're okay, if we're doing it right. Unless we begin to wrap our minds around the fact that our position in Christ is permanent, secure, unshakable, unbreakable, and the way that we walk is just a moment-by-moment decision, and we're always growing in that. So that's my thoughts on that, Bob, that there's a big difference between being in Christ all the time and then our moment-by-moment walking by the Spirit decisions.
Yes, indeed. I know you said something about us being here in Texas, and I don't think any of the four of us were born in Texas, but we got here as quick as we could. And, you know, I think that's the way it is with Christ. We're not born into Christ, but then through faith we're born again into Christ. And that's our permanent position, and boy, that's just the best place in the world to be. That's where real life is. That's where truth is. That's where grace is, and that's where we've been planted to grow. And boy, we have God's Spirit, and it's just the most awesome life that we can experience.
Yeah,
I
absolutely.
Mean, it really is. There's nothing that can compare to knowing Christ, to being known by Christ, to experiencing the love of Christ on a day-to-day basis.
And friends, if you'd like to add to this part of the discussion or pose a new subject, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 844-32-BASIC.
Well, let's go to Brooklyn and talk with Eugene, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Eugene.
Hello, my brothers in Christ. How are you brothers doing today?
Doing fantastic. Yeah. Nice to hear from you.
The same here. So my question is, in the book of Revelation, Revelation 6, 1 through 3, talking about the rider on the white horse after the Lamb opened the seals. I'm believing that this rider is the Antichrist. And people have told me that this was Jesus, but I can't take that this was Jesus from my own research. I believe it is the Antichrist, because we know that Jesus came, I believe, in, I think it's Revelation 18, when Jesus did come with the 144,000. But my thing is, and we know that Jesus, we're waiting, that was his second coming. So could you elaborate and explain, and I hear your side, who this rider was on the white horse?
Yeah, I think you've got it right. This cannot be Jesus. When you look at all four of the riders and what they're doing and how awful this is, it can't be Jesus. It must be someone else, because Jesus comes on a white horse and only speaks. He's not doing battle in the way that these four horsemen are doing. So I think you've got it right.
Yeah, these four horsemen really represent kind of the kingdoms of this world. It's
yes.
This world system that Jesus Christ has come to crush and to do away with and to bring in the new, and that's what we see at the end of Revelation. But Eugene, I think, as Richard said, you've got it exactly right there, my friend.
Well, thank you so much, because, you know, people were going back and forth with another brother. He's a Christian brother. He's a teacher. And he was telling me that this has to be Jesus. And now, you know, this just brings confirmation in the end. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Eugene.
You're welcome.
Hey, thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate it.
Yes, indeed.
I do want to remind our listeners about our special 2015 calendar that is available just hot off the press. Our friend Michael Young, a photographer in New York City and the Bronx area, supplied the images for this. It's just breathtaking stuff. And it really is a reminder that God is with us each and every day, that we are in his presence, that he resides with us. And we want you to have it. It's available for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month. There is a limited supply. So if you want a copy of God with Us, the Basic Gospel 2015 calendar, you better act fast.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we'll get one to you as soon as we can.
You can do that. Go online to basicgospel.net. You'll find a support link there on the homepage, basicgospel.net, or you can speak with Billy, our operator, at 844-41-BASIC.
Let's go back to New York and talk with Nick, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Nick.
Hi, guys. Good afternoon. How are you?
Doing fantastic.
Excellent. Merry Christmas.
And to you.
Just wanted to ask you a question. At the opening of your conversation, at the opening of the radio today, a comment was made about our works as our filthy rags. And that's one of the scriptures that is found in the Old Testament when God was talking to Israel. And it's a very misquoted, misused scripture. And it really bothers me that it's very used by a believer, because we're called to good works. And a lot of our works are good. All of our works are not filthy rags. You know, Israel was being told that their works at that time, at that particular point, their works were like filthy rags, because they're trying to be self-righteous and doing things to edify themselves. And that scripture so many times is misused, and it makes us look like...
Well, Nick, thanks for, you know, thanks for making this comment. Andrew, you know, I think what you were saying there at the beginning was in light of these works of self-righteousness, trying to earn our way into God's favor. Is that what you were meaning there at the beginning?
Yeah, I mean, we're really talking about, you know, Isaiah and the quote there, and that's absolutely right that it's from the Old Testament. But we're talking about, you know, at the beginning of this broadcast, I was making reference to unbelievers and the need to believe in Jesus Christ. So I would stand by the idea that if we are not in Christ, if we are in Adam, then everything we do is a product of being in Adam. And so whether it's good-looking filthy rags or bad-looking filthy rags or, you know, good-looking works from the world's perspective, you know, God measures everything by, is it coming from his Son? And so if we don't have the Spirit of Christ living in us, if we're an unbeliever in Adam, then that's when everything that we do is filthy rags. Now, of course, when we're transferred into the kingdom of God and we're placed in Christ, well, then we are recreated in Christ Jesus for good works, and God has prepared those in advance for us to do. And there's no question that those are valuable works if they come from Christ. But yeah, when we're talking about the unbeliever, that's a totally different ballgame. Because anything that we do as an unbeliever is generated by the flesh, by human effort. And in God's economy, the only thing that matters is what is inspired and motivated by his Son, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Does that help, Nick?
Right. Yeah, I would agree. I would agree with most of that. But we just have to clarify that, because a lot of people misunderstand that. And even as a non-believer, I don't think all of our works as a non-believer are as filthy rags either. I mean, you have wonderful people doing, like, you know, doctors and healing people. I mean, God heals them, but, you know, in those professions. And certainly in a spiritual light, if you're comparing it to salvation, it's not standing up to it. But to say, even as a non-believer, that everybody's works are filthy rags, I don't think that's really the proper what the scripture was talking about. But it just needs to be clarified better, because a lot of Christians use that. You know, well, we can't do anything. All our works are like filthy rags. You know, if you put filthy rags in all the scriptures that talk about our good works, it wouldn't even make sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, Nick, and I understand your viewpoint on that. You know, obviously, we would feel that if a doctor, you know, gave someone medicine and they felt better, that that's a good act, and that we'd rather have order. And we'd rather have, you know, people doing kind things to each other rather than chaos and crime and violence and that sort of thing. I guess when we're talking about works here, we're talking about God's viewpoint on religious works and God's viewpoint on human effort. And so in that sense, if we're doing something to earn favor with God, or if we're doing something to earn righteousness before God, then anything that we do outside of Christ is not going to earn any favor or any righteousness with God. And so that's the context and the spirit in which I made those remarks.
Yeah. Well, Nick, thanks for your call.
I agree with that.
We sure appreciate your call, Nick.
Yeah, thanks,
thank
man.
You.
Yeah, and again, plenty of open lines, 844-32-BASIC. This is Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley joining Richard Piper, Bob Christopher, and me, Bob Davis. And we want to hear from you, 844-32-BASIC. Also, friends, I hope you received Bob Christopher's letter expressing appreciation for the many of you who stand by us in support of this ministry so faithfully. As he mentioned, Basic Gospel reaches into homes and lives in all 50 U.S. states and 121 different countries with the good news of Jesus Christ, only because of those of you who are vital parts of the Basic Gospel circle. But truly, the work is only beginning, and to end 2014, which has been an excellent year so far in so many ways, but to see the year come to a close in a positive manner, just to break even and not carry a deficit into the new year, we really need to see an outpouring of gifts to support this work, roughly $213,500 by the 31st. As Bob mentioned, fully 25% of our annual donations come from during the month of December. And this December, we need your help to close the year on solid footing. So please help as much as you can. Give your most generous gift, and you'll find that support link, as I said, in the header at basicgospel.net, or speak with Billy, our operator, at 844-41-BASIC. That's 844-41-BASIC. We hope to hear from you today.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to our phones again and talk with Mike, listening to us on WFIA in Louisville, Kentucky. Hi, Mike. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hey, thanks. Quick question. I believe you've addressed it before, but I think I missed the answer. What would be the reason why some of the books are left out of, like, the King James Version, outside of political, say, King James? I've been told it was, well, King James just wanted to, just took them out. But I had heard that it was, like, I'm talking like Maccabees and some of those other books, like, that can be used as maybe historical texts, but not necessarily as the Word of God. And the reason why was because you couldn't reference them from, like, old to new, like you can, you know, like you can reference Old and New Testament and cross-reference them, but you couldn't really cross-reference any back to theirs. It was not seen as divinely inspired. Is that true, or what would be your take on that? And I'm going to hang up and listen on the radio.
Well, Mike, thanks for that question. That's a really good question. There are a series of books that show up, for example, in the Catholic Bible and certainly the Jewish historical works, but those books don't show up in a Protestant version of the Bible, and I think the reason is because they were never seen as truly inspired by God. They have some incredible history there. We understand what takes place between the closing of the Old Testament and the opening of the New. We get a little gist of the history of the people of Israel during that time. But there's nothing in there that really was prophetic as far as pointing to the person and work of Jesus Christ. And that's what the Bible is all about. It's a story. It's the unfolding story of Jesus. So it's not that those books don't have value. They're just not at the same level as far as inspiration. God breathed is what we contain in our Word of God today. Andrew, do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, not really. I mean, I think that you covered it pretty well there, Bob. We've got certain books that we believe are inspired by God. They're talking about a relationship with God. And, you know, Catholics have a different viewpoint. There's a few different, several different books that they've added in. And so you're looking at a Protestant canon and a Catholic canon. And I think that, you know, you can also find alternative gospels that people have tried to, you know, they've purported are authentic, and you get into the childhood of Jesus and the teenage years of Jesus, and you see things that are out of character for him that don't line up with the Jesus that we know from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All of those, in some cases, those have been written much later. So authorship is in question. The time of writing is in question. The content is in question. The compatibility with books of the Bible, known books of the Bible, is always questioned. And so all of this factored in when the Bible was canonized. And I think we have to ultimately just put our confidence in a big God who knows what he's doing. And, you know, it's not about the book in and of itself anyway. As you and I often say, Bob, it's really about the person who wrote the book. and getting to know Him. And that's at the heart of our lives, not, you know, picking at words or phrases or trying to figure out exactly what is and what shouldn't be in the Bible. I mean, that's been decided. And I think those who try to insert things that don't belong there are really off base.
Yeah, I agree. Well, let's go to Livermore, California, and talk with William listening to us on KDIA. Hi, William.
Hi, guys. I just wanted to add my two cents to this issue of filthy rags in regard to our works. Mm-hmm. I know it's God's will that no one perish. And I believe that when he's referring to filthy works, it is in terms of our efforts to make ourselves righteous before God. And the idea that there are good works done by unbelievers, I believe that that is human understanding, which God tells us don't lean on our own understanding, and that the wisdom of man is foolishness to God. After all, what good is it if we live a perfect life to the ripe old age of 120 and die peacefully in our sleep if we don't go to heaven?
William, good points right there. And it all gets back down to, you know, this relationship with God. How do we enter into a relationship with God? Do we enter into a relationship with God through good works? Or do we respond to the gospel message by faith? And that's what God requires, is this heart attitude of faith. None of my works can earn my way into heaven. They're just not good enough. No matter how good a work that I may do as a lost person, there's still some underlying selfishness to each and every one of those. That's just the way it is. But when we come to Christ, God offers it freely, and it's a gift that we receive by faith. That's what declares us to be righteous in His sight. That's when we're justified by faith, and then God's Spirit comes to live inside of us, and He produces genuine, authentic, God-sourced works that I think people can see the difference in, and I think they can see it clearly because He truly is the source of it. But, William, yeah, we appreciate you weighing in.
Yeah, Bob, you know, I think this is a really important question that's come up now twice today on the program. And, you know, you think about how we're going to grade ourselves. I mean, if our works were worth anything as an unbeliever in the sight of God in terms of righteousness, if they were worth anything, then we would be scoring a 4 out of 10 or a 6 out of 10, or some people might even achieve a 7 or 8 out of 10 in our own eyes. And so we're going to miss the point of salvation. The point of salvation is that we've scored a 0, that anything we do, the net score is 0. And then through Christ, we become a 10 out of 10. Through Christ, we're given the free gift of righteousness, and it is by faith. It's not by what we do for God, but by receiving what He did for us. So unless I'm acquainted with the fact that I scored a 0, why in the world would I be open to the gift of righteousness? I think I'm doing just fine. But the reality is we're not doing just fine, and we need Jesus, and He makes us a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, Andrew, thanks for clarifying that, and yep, certainly I know if people are listening that this gospel message really is a free gift, and that's the importance of this Christmas season that we're in today. Just as the Lord said to the shepherds, the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. God's gift to mankind is His Son, Jesus. That's what He's offering you. If you've never come to Jesus Christ, if you have never received Him, I encourage you to do so today. Come empty-handed. There's nothing that you can offer. Only you are there to receive. Receive His life, receive His forgiveness, receive His love, and you will be made new. That's the Christmas story.
Absolutely. Friends, you know, social media is a great venue to follow Basic Gospel. And if what you've heard on this broadcast has made a difference with you, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. And please include Basic Gospel in your year-end giving. Well, now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, Andrew Farley, and the ministry team, this is Bob Davis inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll be glad to address your question, and so have some for us, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.